Now let us turn to our Bibles, please, in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, this wonderful account, which we should give thanks to God for and remember regularly. And as the Word of God is open before you, let us seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee and bless Thee that it is written in Thy Word the account of the birth of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that this is true. Many eyewitnesses witnessed of His birth, spoke of His life. And we thank Thee that Thou, through Thy Son, even speak to us now. Bless Thy Word to us now, we pray. Help us to hear Thy Word as from Thee, and then to, like these shepherds, to obey and to go and seek and to see Christ the Savior. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Here's a wonderful account of the Word of God, of the coming of Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful thing to remember this truth about the Savior through the year. It's a real blessing, friends, to when you are taught by a faithful teacher who tell you what you need to know about something that you should know. You should be thankful for faithful teachers in your life. You can go back in your life, and everyone here, possibly you remember some teachers that left an impression upon you for good. Maybe a friend, a faithful friend, maybe a father, a mother. But how do you know they were faithful? How do you know that they have done you good? Those people. The way you and I know that someone has been faithful to us, that has done us good, lasting good, is because we have tested their teaching. We have done what they taught us of. We have applied the formula. We have done what they said. We went to the place they said we ought to go. Or we listened to their warnings and found that it was a wise warning. So then it was, when it was tested, we saw for ourselves, and afterwards we look back and say, well, so-and-so was very faithful to me. I thank God for that person. So what a blessing it is to have a faithful Word of God preached to us. Not many people go to churches, or I should say many people to go to many churches that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ is not clearly preached. There are not many faithful teachers in the land and preachers in the land. And so we should be thankful as well for a faithful preaching of the Word of God by whoever it is. But that is not enough to simply hear a good message, a faithful message. It is not enough to simply read the Word of God and to hear it, like these shepherds who heard a faithful word from heaven. When the angel came and spoke that what had happened that day in the city of David, what would have happened if they did nothing about it? They said, well, that's well and good, but we've got sheep to care for. We've got our own worries and cares of this world. What is that to us? What if they did not listen? They did not do anything about it? If you personally don't care about what you hear, even if it comes from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, it would not benefit your soul. I hope you've come here this morning so that your soul might benefit. That you might know God and know His salvation and the hope and the joy and the peace and eternal life that is offered to us in the Gospel so freely. So here were these shepherds, we are told, sitting in the field, tending to their flock by night. They were not looking for God. We are not told that they were looking for God. They were just minding their business. But what a wonder it is that God comes by His grace. God sends these angels and the message of the angels. These angels have come to bring them life-giving message. And that's a wonderful thing. You see, if God left us to ourselves in this world, we would implode, we would destroy ourselves. It would be a hopeless world, a joyless world. But God has come with a message. A message that is so personal. I wonder, what do we do with it? We may admire a sermon, a message, a book. We may admire the words of the angels. We might admire the words of a hymn or a psalm and say, well, that was well written. That was well sung. Wasn't that nice? But my friends, these shepherds, they set us an example, and I want you to see the example they set. They were not bothered about the way the message came. Don't be stumbled. Don't let yourself be hindered by the way. Something that might distract you. Something you say, well, why does he say this way? Or why does he do this? Why does the preacher have these mannerisms? And so on. Don't get distracted by anything else. Listen to the message of the Word of God. And then act upon it. They had angels come to them. And they were filled with fear. The angel said, don't be fearful. Fear not. Don't let that be a stumbling block for you. What happened was that as soon as the angel and the host of heaven went back to heaven, they began to talk to each other, these shepherds. And they decided to go straight away and examine and test the thing to see if it be true. And that's what we were reading earlier on. So, verse 15, we read, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So, from this historical incident that is found here in Luke's Gospel, I want you to leave this place this morning and say, I must also hear this urgent call to go and see Jesus Christ for myself. I must see Him. I must know Him. I must know who He is and what He has done for me. I hope you do that. That's our prayer this morning. All of us, both those of you who are Christians and those who are not Christians, would say, I need to see Him. I need to know Him. I need to know what He has done for my soul. So there are simply two things I want to say to you. One is the actual event and the announcement that is given here. And the second thing is to think about these seeking shepherds. So think about this. First thing is the event of the announcement itself that we read together. Don't let the familiarity that you have with this passage to stop you from listening. Listen carefully. What causes these shepherds leave off their job, their responsible position? What is it that makes them to decide to go to Bethlehem? If you look at the context, we are told what the news was that these angels brought. You see, people might have looked at them and said, why are you leaving your sheep behind? Why are you leaving them at night behind? Isn't that irresponsible? Aren't you thinking about these sheep? But they had heard the news. What was the news? That the Savior, Jesus Christ, was that very day born into the world, in the city of David. And He was very close to them. The people in Palestine, you see, at that time were full of expectation. You see that in the scriptures about them. They in their lifetime have seen so much that pointed to a great change that was going to take place for them. We read about various people, different accounts of people. We read about a priest called Simeon. Just a few verses later on, in verses 25 and 26, we read this, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." That is to do with the coming of Jesus Christ. And we read, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So there was someone like that. Then there was another one like Anna. In verse 36, we read, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity," and so on. And again, she was waiting for the Christ of God. It says in verse 38, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." So there was an expectation by the people. However, not everyone who expected a Savior had the right idea about him. Who will he be? What would be his birth? Where would he be born? What will he actually do? People had all kinds of ideas. And so when Jesus Christ was born, it came as a surprise. Now for sure, whatever these shepherds imagined about the Savior, the angels told them of the birth of the child, that he was this day in the city of David. He was born in the city of David that very day. What is that telling you? The angel was saying that the prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah has been fulfilled today in the city of David. You see, there were prophecies after prophecies in the Old Testament we read of, that God had said, "I will send the Messiah. I will send the one who has been foretold from the beginning." When, you see, sin entered into this world, God went with a message to Adam and Eve and said there would be one born of the woman who would come, and he would destroy the works of Satan. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 we read, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So Micah was saying, one would be born who has always been, whose goings forth has been from everlasting. And he would be born in a specific place, Bethlehem. Not any Bethlehem, but Bethlehem Ephrata. What other information does the angel give us? That this child is Christ the Lord, we read in verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So what is declared to the shepherds and what is declared to you this morning is about a Savior, Christ the Lord. Do you know him? He says, today is born in Bethlehem this same Savior. He's not a common child. He's not merely a natural child, even though he was born with flesh and blood through the womb of the Virgin Mary. Yet he's Lord. He's above angels. He's God. And yet man. Two natures in one. We're told in prophecy of Isaiah that this very person is the mighty God. He's called Emmanuel. We were singing of Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. So God has sent a fitting and the right Savior to do His work. This Savior has come into this world. Why is He a Savior? To save, to rescue. Why do we need rescuing? Because we are sinners, bound up in chains of sin. And Jesus Christ came to save sin-riddled sinners. And the angel said He's going to achieve it. He's a Savior. He's not a maybe Savior. He's not a possible Savior. He's not somebody who says, well, I will save you if you want me to. No, He's come to save. Specifically to save. He wasn't born in the palace of Herod. Nor He was born in the home of the high priest. He says, you go to a place that anybody can go to. You can go and see Him now, the angel said. He's accessible. You can go to Him. Even though He's God. Even though He's Lord. Even though He's the Christ. Yet He will even see shepherds. Lowest of the classes. And so if He sees the lowest of the classes, that would mean He would see anybody. And everybody who would go to see Him. You go and look for Him in the stable of an inn. And you will find Him there. How? Verse 12, we are told, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Here is the Son of God, who has humbled Himself to such a low level. Now, friends, this morning, let me stop here. And like the angel, apply this good news to you. In our day, there are no more angels sent with messages like this. Because we have the full Word of God. But ministers and preachers are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are commissioned to preach this glad tidings of great joy. This good news of salvation. To announce to you the same joyful good news that came to these shepherds. How do you receive it? You receive it through your ears, week after week. You're blessed by that. But does it then go further down and go into your heart? Listen, the same Jesus, the same Christ, who once lay in the womb of Virgin Mary, and who at His birth was laid in the manger, the feeding trough was His cot, as it were. The same Jesus is that God manifest in the flesh, and He is the Savior of the world. And the Scripture says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And He is the only one who can save you. Don't think that God is silent, friends. God is speaking to you. Through His Word. He's speaking to you this morning. And God gives us this message and says, there's a Savior born. Do you sense that you need to be saved? Do you sense that you must be rescued from the chains of sin and what sin has done in your life? Well, we give you Jesus Christ then this morning. Some of you here, maybe boys and girls, you're so tired. Maybe you've heard the gospel many, many times. And you say, but I'm still not a Christian. What shall I do this morning? Do what the shepherds did. This morning, if you do that, the Lord Jesus will receive you, will hear you, you will come to know Him. Go by faith. Go and say, Lord Jesus, I want to see Thee. I want to know Thee. Forgive me of my sins. I come like the shepherds to thee. Now let's move on. We have thought about the context. The angel comes, the host of heaven comes. They declare this message, they give this news. The Savior has come. The response of the shepherds is so important for us. They did not act carelessly, like many people do today. They did not just walk away and said, well, that's not for me. They did not say, well, that's these religious angels. They didn't say, well, I don't believe in these things anymore. This is something of the past. They didn't think that way. We are living in a society that is so much carelessness. People who have never dying souls, they don't care about their souls. And yet, when they have some small news about something, they get worried. What is this pain that I feel? I need to get this seen and tested and checked and so on. But when they feel some pressure upon their heart and conscience, when they read something, hear something, and it pricks their heart, they do nothing about it. They leave it for another week. They might go to church at a funeral or at different times of the year, maybe a couple of times a year. But that's all they do. Learn from these shepherds. When a message comes to you then, from the Word of God, don't treat it with disrespect. Especially when it tells you something so important for your life and your soul. Especially when it is such a good news of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is preached. The shepherds went. They decided. They talked together. They thought together. We cannot ignore this message. In verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. So it wasn't that they were being dragged. It wasn't that the angels came, will you not go? Just come. We'll come with you. You don't hear anything like that. They are so convicted. They have this longing. We must see Jesus Christ. We must see Him together. Let's all go together. And so they says, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. They wanted to go immediately. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They realized the message wasn't just from the angel. It was from God. It was from the Lord. This message is not from the church. This message is not coming from a preacher. It's coming from God to you. The message of the gospel is not from a man or any church. It's from heaven itself. Think about it. These shepherds, they didn't just listen. They went to find out about it. And then you and I, we must do the same. We must go. We must find out about the truth of the fact of the gospel. Don't think that this incredible message of God becoming man, this message that God took on humanity so that He would save this ruined world, is something of no value. Oh, it's a matter of life and death for you. Don't pass over this truth quickly. Think about it carefully. Study the Bible. You have it. We are living in a country which still it is free. We can take a Bible and study it for ourselves. Find out for ourselves about the marvelous person of Jesus Christ. Have you thought about it enough to know how He has loved us to come into this world and to die for us? Put away any kind of other kind of ideas, false ideas, what the media would tell you. But listen to what the angels have said. God has come. Jesus is born. And He says, go to Bethlehem. Go to Bethlehem. See how serious, my friends, God is. He's so serious. And we should be serious. Because of the awful guilt that we have. Because of our sins and the consequences of sin. It's a serious thing. We take death seriously. I hope you do. I hope death is not a cheap thing for you, or life is a cheap thing for you. In certain cultures, sadly, life is cheap. They don't care about life. But you must go to a funeral and then you face reality. I was at a funeral on Thursday. Most of the people were not Christians, and it was a very sad event, I thought. And most spoke about the sadness of death. But no one spoke about the seriousness of death. What happens after a person dies? See that sin is serious, and God is serious about it. Jesus Christ was so serious about it that He would shed His blood upon the cross for that sin. And for God the Father to give, as a sacrifice, give up His only begotten Son. So these shepherds discussed, and they said, we must go to Bethlehem. Think about them going. And then they might have thought to themselves as they went, why has He been born? Why is this child born now? What's the reason for His coming into this world? Oh, the angel said this. This day is born a Savior. He's born to save. That's the reason. We are going to see, not just any man, but we are going to see a Savior. Even before He died upon the cross, He was called the Savior. An event like this would not happen unless it was an urgent need. Unless it was most necessary for us. There are various reasons why Jesus had to come like He did. But let me give you two reasons. Two reasons that is sufficient for it. One of the reasons is God's glory, God's exaltation, and man's happiness forever. Without the birth and the death of the Son of God, no one would be happy in their soul, and we would not know how glorious and how holy God is. You see, we are like fallen angels, guilty. And Jesus must come down to our level, to take our place, put Himself in our place, in our room, in our stead, as it were. And He should bear our sins and die as a sacrifice in our stead. Without an atonement, this glorious God that Jesus Christ came to declare would not be satisfied. There must be a price of ransom that would be paid. Then God's justice, then it would be satisfied. He would be unable. Without Jesus' coming into this world, God would be unable to show mercy that is consistent with His holiness. He couldn't just cancel the debt. But when the price is paid, then the debt is cancelled. That's what Jesus came to do. So that is why He's called the Savior. People in our day and age, and they have always been looking for a God which is not the God of the Bible. They would rather have an unholy God who would just wink at sin and say, it doesn't matter. Don't you get angry? Don't you get upset when you hear in the news that some gang which have molested children and done all kinds of evil things, then they're let off and no one talks about it? They will be just given a slap on the wrist and said, don't do it again. Don't you get angry about such things? So what kind of a judge is that who would do such a thing? Well, people want a God like that. People who say, well, really, I just want a God who would just wink at my sin and say, well, that, don't do it again. And says it's of no consequence, really. Everyone will go to heaven. People like to have a God who is happy to let liars and adulterers and murderers and blasphemers and proud to go to heaven. But no, my friends, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not Jesus Christ. Our God is holy in every way. Infinitely holy. Eternally holy. And that is the reason why Jesus came. To appease that God. to pay the awful price of our sin so that the true God might be able to forgive us because the debt is paid. Friends, we are not holy. I am not holy. I am guilty. We are all guilty. But praise God that Jesus came. That's why it is called glad tidings of great joy. Because Jesus Christ would save anybody. He would receive anybody who would humble himself and to, in repentance and faith, turn to the Savior. So what have we done? What have we done with this message? We have heard this kind of a thing many, many times before. Boys and girls, adults who are not Christians, what do you do about this? What goes through your mind? I sometimes wonder, what do people think when they hear a message like this? What would you have done if you heard that message from the angels? Would you do what oftentimes is done in churches and say, well, it doesn't mean much to me? It's so important. Don't simply come to church to amuse yourself, to entertain yourself, and or to think that you've done your duty. But your duty, my duty this morning, for those of you who are Christians, those who are not Christians, to go and see Christ. Your duty is to seek Him while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. And bless God, He is near. He's near to needy sinners. He's not distant from us, but He's near. And I ask you today then, if I was to ask you at the door, what have you thought about this message? Have you, while I was preaching, did you say, I want to know the Lord? Is that true of you? Have you been someone who's gone and been reconciled to God that you've offended? Is Jesus Christ living in you? Is He your mediator? Do you go to Him in prayer? Or do you say to people, please pray for me, and you don't pray for yourself? The Lord Jesus Christ came to become the mediator between God and man. He took our nature in order that He might bear our sins in His own body upon that tree, upon the cross. He came to do the work for us, to be right with God, so that we might be justified, so that God may now be just and yet the justifier of all that believe. So, what is your conscience telling you this morning? Are you so glad this morning that Christ has come? Does it make you rejoice? Are you thankful to God? You might be this morning very poor, like those shepherds. You have maybe this morning all kinds of worries. People that you're responsible for. Situations where you think, I can't leave that situation. You might have very little. You might have great things. The Lord Jesus Christ received these shepherds. And then sometime after, He received rich people as well. All kinds of people. He received educated, uneducated, young, old, all sorts He received. What is your conscience telling you this morning? Is your conscience accusing you? Then get right with God. God tells you this morning from the Bible, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And then what? What will be the Lord's dealings with you then? And He will have mercy upon him, and let him return to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And without this, friends, you will never have rest. Do you have rest for your soul? Without Jesus Christ, you will never have rest. So go to Him. Seek Him, like these shepherds today. While He is yet resting in the bosom of His Father in heaven, while there is time, while you are still under the preaching of the Word of God and the Gospel, while He has not yet hardened you, hardened your heart, to such a degree that you'll be careless about things. I think about some of you boys and girls, I think, what will you be like in 5 years' time? Where will you go? Will you begin to argue with your parents? Maybe, I don't want to go to church. Why do I want to go to church? It's boring, it's this, it's that. Why do I have to do this? And then maybe you go to university and you say, I don't really want to go to church. That's what my parents made me to do. And so now is the day that God is speaking to you. He may not always speak to you. Now is the day that you can say, Lord, don't harden my heart. May this message come savingly to me. May this save my soul. And Lord, soften my heart. Break my heart. Maybe some of you today, you feel the hardness. Maybe you feel the coldness. Maybe spiritually, you say, I don't feel anything. Well, my friends, if you are here this morning, then it means it's not too late. It's not too late. However you're thinking, it's not too late. Maybe you're a Christian this morning. And you think to yourself, I feel so lifeless. I feel so, the joy is gone. Well, what do we need? Is go back to this very thing. This is a glad tidings of great joy. This is the message. It brings joy to think, I am nothing, but Jesus Christ is everything. So friends, here we have this wonderful account. Oftentimes we've heard it. Oftentimes we have thought through this account of the coming of Jesus Christ. But may it affect us in such a way that we would not just hear it, we would not deal with it in an abstract fashion, but say, this is coming to me. God is speaking to me this morning. I'm no different to these shepherds. The same Savior is also there. And I can go to Him and know Him and love Him. They went to the Lord Jesus as grown men. But Jesus Christ was a babe. Jesus Christ grew. And then as a man, He was crucified. But my friends, if you go to Jesus Christ, He will grow in you. May the Lord then help you this morning. And may you then leave after you have come to know the Savior. Leave like these shepherds too. Full of gladness. Full of thanksgiving. That's what you read at the end. That they left rejoicing. Speaking to others about the Lord. May that be you, dear believer too. Amen. Let us pray.